What's it all for?
Various artists.
Jelena Telechki is a Yugoslavian Sydney-based artist working amongst a practice of painting, drawing and sculpture to explore representation and its possibilities, looking towards the absurd to investigate the personal and the political. Her paintings display rich elements of narrative, the paintings themselves almost mimicking the likes of film stills or rather a play with their theatrical nature, cropped figures surrounded by murky grayscale atmospheres, luring viewers into a narrative that they don't quite know all the answers to. Within her current self-titled show at Stark White, Jelena Telechki showcases work from the past decade of her practice, bringing these works and their figures together in space and time through their overarching connected atmospheres, creating this enhanced feeling of her work as an extended play, experiencing each act through every encounter of a painting. I had a chat with Jelena about the show and overall practice. Could you start off by introducing yourself and your overall practice a little bit?
Yes, hi, thanks for having me, Maya. I'm an artist from Sydney, originally from Yugoslavia, and much of my work is, I think, informed in some way with that, I guess, Eastern European gloom. Apart from that, I'm really interested in power dynamics. So most of my work really circles or traces how we integrate ourselves in different groups in different societies. So I'm also interested in personal and shared narratives, in intimacy and violence, and of course, above all, in representation and how everything I'm interested in can be articulated by representation.
Beautiful. And your current show on at Stark White showcases work from the past decade of your practice, bringing these works and their figures together in space and time through their overarching connected atmospheres. This atmosphere that the paintings exist within has this real cinematic and theatrical quality to it. Could you speak a bit to this theatrical atmosphere that your paintings exist within? Where did it kind of arise from?
It's interesting. Often I hear that people experience them as theatrical. Well, I think I'm not trying to achieve that consciously, at least. So the way I think about these representations or what's represented or pictures is really coming from, again, trying to capture a scene, something that I experienced, something that I witnessed, or even something that I'm trying to I guess, communicate via this, I guess, slightly absurdist or absurd scenarios. And I think just at the end, when I finish, they appear to be theatrical or maybe sometimes cinematic. Of course, I love films and theatre. And maybe it's all about how do you use body language to communicate something, again, consciously and unconsciously. I think it's that sort of trying to distill something just to a body, to how we stand, what do we communicate with just with our bodies. So I often don't paint faces just because to me it feels maybe too specific. I'm kind of interested in more of this universal language of again, how do we communicate ourselves in different scenarios, in different social situations?
Yeah, that's funny that it's not, I don't know, that it's this kind of unconscious thing, because your works really mimic these kind of like film stills or like this these like pinnacle moments in plays or something.
I realized that I didn't mention, I often even pose if I have an idea of what I want to paint. So for instance, there's one painting, or actually maybe even few paintings in the exhibition in Stark White, where I actually posed in front of a camera because I wanted to see how a body would look like in that position, because you don't, it's something that I couldn't find anywhere. So it's sort of interesting. It's almost like it's a film in my head that I'm then trying to see in front of me via painting.
Yeah. And are you aware of this scene or this moment that is going to appear in the final work? You said you posed for some of these images, but is this aware of that composition of that kind of character before you're going to paint it?
I think to some extent. I think that I'm trying to understand it via painting. I don't paint after an image in a sense. You know, there's some artists who really follow image directly and everything is the same as it is in the image. So I don't do that. To me, it's something I imagined or something I've seen. Then I want to see it just to be sure. I mean, I'm very old school. I like what I paint to be anatomically correct. I know it's a sort of nothing, but it really matters to me to know that I got it right. And then I paint. But in doing all of that, I never know what's going to happen. And actually, that's the reason why I paint. It's because it's almost like I'm trying to understand things through the process of painting. And that's what makes painting interesting to me or exciting. Often I make so many mistakes and I erase so many times what I started that painting becomes something completely different. But still, the starting point is something that I want to communicate. So yeah, to answer your question briefly, no, I don't actually. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, rarely they look exactly or they match what I had in mind. Yeah.
So these photos that you take are kind of the starting point in which the painting kind of journeys through and evolves to be its own kind of thing through that process of making. Mm.
I think it's more what I imagined. I would say that's a starting point. And what I imagine is, again, drawing from being really obsessively interested in, again, in these social theories, starting from something that's really personal and intimate, but then trying to understand it via connecting it to other situations that other people experience. So it's sort of, I think the show really is a great selection of these different obsessions of mine. It's often about me trying to understand how we as artists function in the world. How do we communicate? How do we this will sound really melodramatic, but often you really have to navigate so many things to be able to work and continue to work and show your work outside of your studio.
Yeah.
So those situations when you are really, I'm sure and I know that not only artists are in this situation, so everyone has experienced where you had to really be careful what you're saying and read the room. Mm-hmm. So those situations I'm really, really, really interested in. And I kind of start with, even when I think about something specific, for instance, I'm often interested in dyads, as in group, the smallest group that Georg Simmel researched and wrote about in his theories of social groups. So something even that gets me started is not the image itself, but it's sort of trying to understand something. And I don't want to try to make it sound really intellectual, because that's not, I mean, I think my work shows that it's really about the image, the representation rather, or the picture. But to get there, I have to be excited about something. And otherwise, I don't paint. So that's a starting point. Just being curious about something specific, and then trying to represent it via a picture.
Yeah, and you have already briefly talked about this, but I just wanted to go a bit more in depth. These figures that enter into your work, they're very mysterious and anonymous in nature, often presented through a very zoomed in lens of just their limbs and their feet with distorted, blurred faces. Could you speak a bit to these figures and this decision behind their anonymous presentation?
I can't remember when I started cropping everything. I think it starts from trying to avoid the character or representation or depiction of a particular character, which is what happens to me, to my mind, when I paint the whole figure with face. So somehow removing a face makes these paintings appear as more universal, yes, anonymous, but maybe easier to recognize oneself in them. So I think that would probably be the more direct answer. I mean, I understand that they would appear more mysterious if you can't see the head, if it's just the movement. But I think it's more about almost like a memory or a sensation of doing something. For instance, there's one painting in the work called Almost, titled Almost. I think it's from 2021.
Mm.
It's just a figure of a person in yellow jumpsuit that is trying to sit down, very kind of in insecure way, that where this person doesn't know if it's going to fall or not, and it's connected to a memory, my memory, and memory of maybe other people that share it with me. When you are startled with something, when you're feeling really insecure, let's say in the meeting, and you just want to sit down and steady yourself, so it's that moment that I depict there, that I wanted to capture there. But if I painted myself, if I painted someone with a face, it just wouldn't be so maybe universal. Mm. So I think that for that reason, they just don't have faces or heads. It's almost like you can imagine yourself being in that body or in that situation easier if the figure or the position is more removed from that depiction of someone in particular.
Mm, yeah, I really feel that. So the viewers can almost sink in and, yeah, relate to the painting in a different way compared to if it was a specific face.
Yeah, thanks. Well, that's what I always hope for, because ultimately painting for me is a way to communicate. It's all about communication and how you can do it in the most direct way, but not being obvious, obviously, or literal. How can you do it so that people can connect or understand without being handheld, without being told what the work is about? Mm-hmm. So it's that beauty of allowing everyone to experience them the way they want, either as mysterious or either as something that's familiar or a situation that's familiar. So that's, again, something I really try to achieve in the work.
Mm, beautiful. And switching over to more your material process, your paintings utilize such beautiful applications of paint and really thoughtful uses of color. Could you talk me through some of your material processes and your use of that color when it comes to creating a work?
I mean, this will again sound like naive or silly, but I really love painting process, and it's really flexible. You can really change your mind so many times when you paint with oil, the way I do. But I do work wet on wet or a la prima, so that means that I work quickly. And they have to happen in a day or a week the most, or nothing. If I don't resolve the work in that period, they're dead. They never work.
Mm.
So there's this fastness with which comes that simplicity, I guess. So you have to make your choices in a way that they're not too complicated, I guess, not too many colors. And I don't like color anyway. I think it's sort of confusing the narrative. So that's why I often use gray, and I love gray. And I also think it is connected to growing up in Eastern Bloc, where there was a lot of concrete, a lot of gray areas of grayness everywhere. And I also, I mean, it's funny how I go back to this Hungarian cartoon called Gustav, or Gustavus, I think, in Hungarian. So it's about this person. It's a really gloomy, kind of very funny, but very gloomy, very dark cartoon about this man who is always dressed completely in gray and everything around him is gray. And I think I really, really informed my aesthetics just growing up with that character, and just trying to kind of communicate again something with gray, I guess, or monochrome, or sometimes I use yellows and pink as well, because I think it's such an ugly color to me. So it's really, I guess it's really about a sort of reduced palette and simplifying what I want to represent. Often I paint even the background, but I'm really happy with leaving more information about where this situation that I'm depicting is happening. But in doing all that, I think I'm not, although I love painting, I think I'm not too obsessed with technique. I'm interested in it and I always want to get better. But I think it comes and it develops by me trying to do something or represent something or tell a story, because everything has to happen so quickly. I think somehow, I believe it sort of evolved via pursuing something a bit different. But I do have periods. I have periods when I really kind of take time just to learn and try new things and really kind of use that flexibility of oil painting and painting surfaces in general to see how far I can push it before it fails. I think that's sort of interesting to me.
Yeah, I think your paintings really capture this movement and yeah, really links up to those kind of film stills and rapid motion in which you paint. And having a selection of works that were created over the span of a decade being shown in this one show, it really creates this enhanced experience of this kind of extended practice and extended play as you're walking through the exhibition, encountering each act through every encounter of a painting. How does it feel to bring all of these works together in the show? And in doing so, how does this add to the individual works, having them sit in a place of relation and amongst a kind of dialogue with each other?
Well, it's a great question. Thank you. Because I avoid doing that. So I have this, again, one more obsession with making series of work and seeing it as almost as an album or as a book, and all the works would sort of be connected with whatever I was interested in at that moment. So to see all these works that were selected, not by me, I mean, of course, I agreed with the great selection, but the selection was made on behalf of Stark White Gallery and assistants of my gallery in Australia, 1301 SW. So they made this really incredible selection. Ashley Gurr of Stark White, she selected the work. To me, it was really interesting, and I think like a great experience just to let someone choose from all these works what to put, what to kind of install in a space, and see a connection. I think it's interesting. It's like an interesting experience to see them all together.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, they belong to different worlds, but I can see the, of course, I can see the connection. There's the similar sort of theme going through interest in failure, in vulnerability, in sort of communication between artists and patrons and artists as friends, as collaborators. So all of these things are sort of appearing and reappearing in selected works. It's there's a kind of nice feeling of, I don't want to say letting go, it sounds a little bit melodramatic, but it's nice to trust someone and just let them respond to the work. And often what happens is that I'm satisfied with the choice also because it feels to me like my work is understood in the same way what I wanted to communicate, what I wanted to kind of come across when you look at them all as this massive body of work. So it's great. It's interesting, and it's I'm happy about it. Like I'm excited about it.
Yeah, because it's quite rare that all these paintings that you've created over a decade all come together. Normally they kind of go off into their own little places. So it's quite wonderful having them all together in a room, and yeah, maybe for you picking up on different things or coming to them with a new sense or something, since like all that time's passed and works that you never thought would be together kind of communicating.
It's really interesting. Some of the works I mean when I sent them to the gallery, I haven't seen in a while as well, so to see them kind of re-emerging is really, it's like seeing an old friend.
Yeah, and lastly, what are your hopes for viewers as they enter into the space of your show and engage with the works?
I mean, this will sound like I'm arrogant or selfish. I don't want to hope. I mean, I feel once the work is installed, and even once the work is outside of the studio, what happens with them, how people read, how they experience it, it's sort of not in my control, right? The only thing, if I can say, I hope the same way it was exciting to see every time, it's exciting to see when people really understand what I'm trying to communicate. So it would be, of course, wonderful if what I'm on about is recognizable in my work. But even if it is not, if people, I mean, often I have completely different sort of reading, because I guess it's, the work can be seen as fetishistic, which is, it's not about sex at all. But I understand that many people would see it as kinky or erotic or sexual. And I'm okay with that. I mean, of course, you sort of, you know, you expect that everyone will see what they want to see. So, yeah, I mean, I'm curious, but I don't wish to project any of my needs or expectations onto what people kind of will feel or see or understand when they're in the space.
I
think it's exciting not to have expectations.
It's kind of like a moment of release when they're kind of into the show, and it's
I think they get their a life of their own. So
That was Yelena Telechki talking to me about her self-titled show, currently on at Start Quiet until the 20th of September.